So help us always to have an attitude of gratitude and never to forget who is the source of all our blessings. Father, for this message that is about to go forth, we pray and ask your blessing on it, on every word that proceeds from my mouth. May you be honored. May you be glorified, Father. And just use me to be your channel or your conduit to convey this message to all of us, Father, including yours truly. Thank you, God. It's in a son's name that I pray. Amen. The book of Psalm, and especially Psalm 37, was written by David. And David has been at pains to tell us in the psalm before, and also in the one after this one, that the people of God must be comforted. Even though they look and they see the wicked prospering, these folks who have no regard for God seem to be prospering. But the people of God must be comforted and must not be perturbed by that. Because in the end, it is the people of God that will be standing, not those who have neglected to serve the Almighty God. I wanted to say that because we have just come out of a very challenging year, the year 2023. And if there's anything that that year can teach us, is that man is still an abject failure. I say that because one would have thought that by now, in the year 2023, that we would have found the formula for peace in this world. That there'd be no war, that there'd be no more crime, that there'd be no more corruption, no more immorality, no more injustice, no more inequality. But even then, and even right now, these things are pretty much very, very much within our society. And it tells us that we are abject failures, that man by himself is bound to fail. We cannot solve these things without the Almighty God. It does not matter whatever solutions we try. It doesn't matter how many technology we put in place. Man will continue to fail in trying to solve these critical areas of our lives. We can all acknowledge that last year we made many mistakes and many wonderful things we did. We can all acknowledge that we made many missteps and many mistakes in the year 2023. And if the truth be told, and I'm no prophet, but if the truth be told, we can admit that the year 2024, we will continue to make some mistakes and missteps. Doesn't matter who we are. Even the best of us are going to fall and make mistakes again in this year. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the world in which we live has been a broken world. A world in which sin has been dominant. Not just last year, but also this year, it will continue to be dominant in the lives of men and women because we live in a broken world. The world is like a minefield in which you have to be very careful as you navigate yourself through the world, because you can be blown to spiritual pieces if you're not careful. The world is like an obstacle course. You have to be careful because you can easily be knocked off course. So we have to be so careful because of how challenging it is to live in this world. It is. And therefore, it is only the foolish and the ignorant who will try to live in this world without God. Only the foolish and ignorant. I believe if anything, then our plea this morning, our mantra going throughout the year should be, Lord, which is the title of my sermon, Lord, please order my steps. Lord, please order my steps. This year and beyond. I use the word that was used in the scripture, the word order. And the word order means to establish. Pretty much what we are saying is that, Lord, please establish my steps, that they may be firm as I make my way through this life. The word means also to guide. Please guide me as I try to live in this unfriendly world. So then the title is, Lord, I'm begging you please to order my steps as I walk. And I want to use 3 points this morning to drive home that message if I can. So if you have your pens and your papers with you, please have them on hand so that you can get the gist at least of what I'll be saying this morning. First of all, as we plead to God to order our steps, the first step we want the Lord to order for us is a step of assurance. A step of assurance. And I particularly spend some time on this because the word assurance means a pledge. In other words, God has made a pledge to be with us as we try to live this life. One of the most difficult, if not the single most difficult thing of this life, is trying to please God without God's help. We can't do it. And therefore, we want the Lord to guide us as we make that step of assurance. In other words, God is assuring us that He's with us, that God is with us even in our valley of despondency and despair, that God is with us. And this is important for us to understand. Life, my friend, can be very lonely. Life sometimes can be very difficult. Life sometimes can cause you to feel so chaotic. I want us to understand that. And that is why every time that God was appointing a leader, Moses, Joshua, David, every single time, you know what God said to them? I will be with you. Because God knows that man by himself, without his presence, is bound to fail. So when he appointed Moses, he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, listen what it says, Exodus 3 verse 12. So he said, that is God, I will certainly be with you, Moses, and this shall be a sign to you that I've sent to you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. But notice the point I'm making. As soon as he told Moses to go to Pharaoh, he said, Moses, I am assuring you that I'll be with you. Did you know that one man and God is all you need? Did you know that? One man and God make the majority. That you may stand up for what is right and everybody else is sitting down. But if you're standing up with God, that make the majority. And I want us to understand that as we go through the year 2024, we want to be assured that every nook and cranny of our lives, every corner, everywhere we go, as we drive on the expressway, our Lord is with us. Because this is going to be a difficult year. It's going to be another difficult year. It may very well be that some of us will lose loved ones this year. It may very well be that some of us will lose a job or two this year, or our health this year. It will be difficult. We need more than anything else the divine presence of God. It's going to be difficult. When Moses died, and Joshua was appointed to take over. Do you know what God said to Joshua? Yeah, you guessed right. He said, Joshua, I will be with you. Over and over and over and over again, God is saying, I'm going to be with you, because God knows we cannot do it by ourselves. And I know sometimes we feel like we're Mr. Creativity. We can do this, Mr. Independent, but we are not independent without God. We need God like a sick man needs a doctor. So he said to Joshua, Joshua 1 and verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And listen what he says as he closed that verse. I will not leave you nor forsake you. When God says that, that ought to get our attention. Because God is saying, even in the most difficult days, I'm there with you. Your friends may abandon you, but I'll be there with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I can't make you that promise because I'm in flesh and blood. But God, who is omnipotent, who's omnipresent, when he says that, he means it. Because you're going to have those dark, lonely days. You're going to feel at times that you don't have the energy to continue on. You're going to feel a lack of motivation. Sometimes you may look around you and you don't see anybody to support you. But if you can remember what God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, it will give you a pep in your step. And we need to keep that in mind. So when David was about to get ready, remember when David was king and David was going through some difficult days in his life? David uttered some words that all of us remember from when we were kids. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Are you seeing what I'm saying? David was fearless. He was courageous. Why? Because he knew, he was convinced that the Lord was with him. Psalm 23, verse 4. For thou art with me. So the next time you find yourself not on the mountaintop of joy, but in the valley of despondency, remember what God says. He will be with us. And that's what helped David. And it may be this week, it may be next week, that you're going to find yourself in that valley of discouragement. It may be. If you can just recall those words thundering from heaven, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It will aid you in those difficult times. It will. I want us to keep something else in mind. And we talked about it this morning in our Bible class. Paul himself knew what it felt like to be alone. He said, sometimes you can have folks around you, but you're still alone. Did you know that? You're still feeling lonely. I have a whole bunch, some of us have, 50, maybe 500 friends on Facebook, but we're just as lonely. We brag, look at all the folks who are following me, 500, but we're just as lonely as anybody else. Because there's a part of us that only God can fill. You hear what I'm saying? There's a part of us. And watch this, everybody. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, we said Paul had many friends, but when Paul needed his friends, everybody abandoned him. Everyone abandoned him. But that's what Paul said in this passage. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Remember we talked about that? No one stood with me, he said, but the Lord. But the Lord. He said, what we ought to be bragging about is not how many friends we have, but our service to God. If you have God as your friend, as a companion, then you have it all. You have it all. But what is going to happen when you find yourself at night lying on your bed, thinking about the challenges you have in your life? Your friends are going to be fast asleep, snoring. They're not going to remember you. But you need someone who understands. That's why we sing that song, my Jesus knows just what I need. He knows. Can I share something else with you? God assures us today that not just then, but even today, that he's with us. Today. Yes, that when you as a faithful child of God get in your car and you're driving on these streets going home, you know who is in that car with you? No, I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. I know that's what you're thinking. I'm talking about the Almighty God. He's with us. That when I get on the expressway, that can be so treacherous at times. Who is with us? It is God. That when you get back home, you never know what is at home awaiting you. But you want to know that while you do not know what is there, you know who is with you. And that's God. That's important for us to keep in mind. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Listen what the writer says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Listen what God says now. For he himself has said, are you seeing that? Keep that close to your heart. When you go to work, keep it close to your heart. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That when you feel like your health is failing, keep it close to your heart. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, because it means a lot. And I'll explain to you shortly what it means. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want us to forget that, brethren. Pray, my friend, that God will help us to be spiritually aware of his divine presence in our lives, because those difficult days are going to come. They're going to come. And when those difficult days come, what will you be standing on? So when David says, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Watch this now. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So he's leaning on those things. The question I'm asking is, when your difficult days come, what are you going to be leaning on? Are you going to take up a cell phone and call Tom, Dick, and Harry? Who are you going to be leaning on? And sometimes when you call a friend, they already have a mountain of problems they're already dealing with, that they can't help you. But what a joy it is to know that in your difficult days, that there is one who stands as Jehovah God, who's ready to help us. This is not a myth or a figment of our imagination. This is what the word of God says. Can you take the word with you? Can you take with you today that concept, that fact, biblical fact, that God says, I will never leave you. While others do, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you have businesses, and there are several of our members who operate their own businesses in our congregation. And that's great. I've never taken for granted that businesses are easy to operate. Not easy. And I want to say to our business operators and business owners that if you do your business right, God will always be with you. You just stay the course. Just stay the course and God will bless your business. Just stay the course. And I'm looking forward to that so much this year, as much as possible. So sometimes we say to each other, I hope you'll be well. When they're leaving, we say, I hope everything goes well with you. Don't we do that sometimes? I hope you have a safe trip. We say that many times. But how about changing that to saying, may the Lord go with you? And I'm not just saying it as some kind of religious, ritualistic phrase. I'm saying it because this means a lot to us. That when you're getting ready to go to the doctor because you have some kind of pain and you're not too sure what it is, well, you might want to text your friend or call her, that sister or that brother, and say, may the Lord be with you. When you're being wheeled into that operating room, you want to hear, not just, I hope everything works out. You want to hear, yes, may the Lord be with you. And this is not just kind of some kind of default response to someone who's having issues. This is something that is meaningful to us. May our God be with you when you go through your difficulties. So I want us to understand that we must now make it a part of our daily rhetoric and vocabulary that we say to each other, may the Lord be with you as you go to work today. That's important. Don't say it because it sounds good. Say it because it's coming from the very depth of your heart. When Solomon was being counseled by his father, David, and David was telling him that God wants him, Solomon, to build the temple. You know what David said to Solomon? Well, look with me at 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 11. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 11. David said, now, my son, Solomon, may the Lord, what? Be with you. Do you see that? This has become a kind of recurring decimal over and over and over again. We find it in scriptures. Because these men knew the importance of conveying that message to each other. So it says, Solomon, as you get ready to build the temple, it's going to be challenging, but he says, may the Lord be with you and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord, your God, as he has said. May the Lord be with you. Well, how about when David himself, as a young boy, was getting ready, putting on the heavy armor, and he couldn't manage it. Do you know what King Saul said to him? as he was getting ready to face Goliath? Well, let's allow the scriptures to speak for us. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, the Bible says, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'What? Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Please, brothers and sisters and friends, I want us to try and adopt that as one of our mantras for this year. So as we leave this afternoon, we have no idea what is going to happen out there on the road. But that's not our prerogative. Our prerogative is that we trust the one who's going to be with us. So how about saying to the sister as she gets into her car and say to her, "May the Lord be with you until we meet again." Very, very important. But this is going to be a difficult year. Secondly, not just a step of assurance, but as we make our step into year 2024, I pray that it will be a step of acceptance. Now, why did I choose this word, acceptance? Be with me here, this brethren. There are many things in life that we are never able to understand. Many things. We don't understand why certain things happen. Why me? We don't even like certain things that have happened. And you know what? It's going to happen over and over this year. There are going to be things that happen that you don't understand. Why? And you don't even like. These things are going to happen. But we, however, we learn to accept the fact that God is still in charge. My job is not to sit down like and search for all the reasons like Sherlock Holmes. No. My job is not to get preoccupied as to why. My job is to trust my God. Oh, it relieves you so much of the burden, unnecessary burden, because God doesn't want us to burden ourselves with trying to figure out why. Trust him. Let go and let God. That's the idea. And as we go through this year, my friend, brace yourself, I'm saying, because there are going to be times when you have no clue why this happened. Why it happened to me? Why not him? Why me? Well, why not you? These are questions that we're going to ask this year. The scriptures tell us in Romans 8 and verse 28, one of our favorite passages, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Yeah. One of our favorite passages. You know why? Because it relieves us of trying to figure out why certain things happen. Because here it says, well, why is not my business, but I do know that everything that works out for me by God is for my own good. I may not like it, I may not understand it, but put that aside. The end result will always be good because not that I say it, because God says it. It will be for my good. And that's important. Lord, please order my steps in the year 2024. Please. And this means that we have to learn to let go and let God lead us. Brother EJ led us into a beautiful song this morning regarding that. And even Jesus himself struggled with the idea of whether to hold on or to let go and let his Father's will be done. Remember that one? Yes. In Luke 22, if you will, Luke 22 and verse 42, Luke 22, 42. When Jesus Christ was in the garden, the Bible says he prayed for, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but thy will." Can we just try and say that this year? Lord, this is what I want, but hey, it's not about me, oh God. It's about you. It's about you. Much of our lives, sadly. And listen, when I say these things, I may be saying it to you, But it's coming back to me also. Much of our lives is spent in worrying about things that have not happened and that have already happened, which means that worry can change none of those things. So we are preoccupied by worrying about things that have taken place already, as if we can unhappen those things or change those things. And we can't. So therefore, we're asking the Lord to help us to learn to just accept things. Just accept things. It may not be what we want, but who told you that this world revolves around you? Who told you that? When you go to the grocery store, who told you that the lady there has a right to smile at you? No. She doesn't. That your duty is just to allow God to lead you and order your steps. That's your job. One of our favorite prayers, a little prayer that many of us have seen many times. And it's right there, you see on the screen, we call it the Serenity Prayer. Remember that one? The Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Oh God. If we ever master this, half of our problems will be solved. I tell you. Trying to change things we can't change is a waste of energy. Waste of energy. We need God to give us the wisdom so that we can discern and decipher and know the difference and to differentiate between that which we can change and that which we can't change. And he says, grant me the wisdom to know the difference. And if we can practice that this year going through 2024, I think we will avoid a lot of the challenges that we would otherwise experience. Thirdly and lastly, and I'll be through with you. Not only is a step of acceptance and assurance, but thirdly, there's a step of acknowledgement. This one is very important to me. Not that the others are not, but this one gets to the core of my heart. The step of acknowledgement as we go through this year. Every step we make in the year 2024 as a Christian should be a step in which we are acknowledging certain things. Acknowledging certain things. We must be acknowledging the need for God to direct us. The need for God. You know, when I just came to the United States, one of the best things that someone could have given to me, and a friend of mine gave it to me as soon as I think he gave it to me before I came. And that was a GPS. 10 years ago, GPS, oh, what, 13, 14 years ago, a GPS wasn't as fancy as they are now. But it was like my second Bible. Because my wife has a better sense of direction than I do. But my GPS was the closest thing to me. If I'm going next door, I would have my GPS. Because that's how bad things were for me. But the point I'm making is that we are bad when it comes to direction, and not only that, directing our own lives. We are failures. Failures. Every single one of us will look back and regret certain directions that we had taken. Why? Because, hey, we are flesh and blood. We make mistakes. Brothers and sisters and friends, I want us to understand that as human beings, you will make many mistakes. We must acknowledge that. Acknowledge that it doesn't matter how much someone gives you accolades and praises you. You let them know that you're not as good as they think you are. I know the psychologists like to tell us that, hey, you are a great person. They want us to psych ourselves up. I am great. I'm wonderful. I'm great. When God says you are nothing without me. That's what God says. And a lot of people are walking around with a false sense of self-esteem. They think that they are great when they are nothing in the sight of God. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Jeremiah 10, 23. Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Don't try to direct your steps by yourself this year. Don't do it. Don't do it. The Bible tells us that man does not have it within him to direct his own steps. So don't sit down and begin to plan out your day without God. Oh, this is what I'm going to do next month, and the following month. And then you feel so organized. There's no place for God. None for him. We must acknowledge the importance of living humble lives. Acknowledge that it's important that we strive to be humble. Can I share something with you that some of you perhaps already know? So I think a month ago or several weeks ago, the president of Harvard, Claudine Gay, was testifying before Congress with a few other Ivy League principals. And they came under fire, including Claudine Gay, who is the president of Harvard, because she didn't take a very strong stance against anti-Semitism. Wasn't strong enough. Then it was found out that she was guilty of plagiarism, that there was plagiarism on her dissertation. And she later resigned. There was one billionaire, Bill Ackman, who led the charge. He was a Jewish billionaire. He led the charge for her to resign because he was the one who found out that she was guilty of plagiarism. And he led the charge for her to resign. Fair enough. Resign. Today. 2 days later, it is found out that his wife, who is an MIT professor, is also guilty of plagiarism. Oh, you're attacking my wife because of what I've said. All of a sudden, now he's playing the victim. When I thought that plagiarism is plagiarism, whoever does it, right across the board. But the reason why I'm mentioning this to you is that I'm saying, brethren, strive to be humble. Because life can be cruel. You hear what I'm saying? It can be so cruel. You're judgmental and you're crude and you're harsh and you're aggressive on somebody, and then all of a sudden, the tables are turned. Don't forgive him. Oh, don't. Well, but I need forgiveness. Somebody once said, be humble. Or be humbled. If you catch the drift there, life will bring you down to earth. But I heard you say, boy, that we are filled with helium. And sometimes the helium needs to be released so that we can be brought back down to earth. Be careful, brethren. Be careful. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not concocting anything here. For example, we think of Peter. We all remember, first of all, Peter said, Lord, while others will forsake you, I will never do that. Remember that? Over my dead body, I'd rather die before I forsake you. That's what Peter said. And within a matter of hours, not even days or weeks, hours. And Peter was not only forsaking Jesus Christ, but he was denying ever being with Jesus Christ. Every time I think about that, I wondered, was Peter really thinking? Because he was Peter who, among the closest of disciples to Jesus. Jesus Christ was all over Galilee and Palestine, preaching and teaching, and Peter would have been there in the midst. The hillside, by the boat, in the synagogue, wherever, and Peter was there. And now he has the audacity to say, I don't even know the man. But it goes to show how important it is for each of us, to strive to be humble. Later on, as Peter became more mature and much wiser, you know what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6? Listen to what it says. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. Watch this, everybody. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Boy, he learned a lesson, didn't he? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Be humble, friends. Because life sometimes can be so cruel. And I say that, brethren, because sometimes our lives are filled with all kinds of inconsistencies. You see, folks may only know you, but they don't know the inconsistencies. And we're all guilty of oftentimes saying one thing and doing another thing. Inconsistencies. Because for Peter, for example, in the early years of Peter's discipleship with Jesus Christ, remember when Jesus Christ went into Peter's boat and helped Peter to catch a huge amount of fish? Peter said, "Lord, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence." That's humility. But then later on, the same Peter became arrogant. I said, "Lord, they will fall, but not me." And then later on, the same Peter who is now telling us, be humble. Notice the inconsistency. Is what I'm trying to say? That's how we are. And what I'm trying to get at, brethren, is this. Remember that you may be standing today, but you're falling tomorrow. You may be laughing today, but you're crying tomorrow. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Life, our lives without God is filled with inconsistencies. So who am I to judge another man unless I'm using the scriptures? Who am I? Paul summed it up quite well. And I know a lot of preachers get tongue twisters on this one, but in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, I think Paul really had it down to the T. He said, "For what I am doing, I do not understand." Watch this, everybody. "For what I will to do, that I do not practice." In other words, that which I know I should do, I don't do it. But what I hate to do, guess what? That's what I do. Inconsistency is like the stock market, up today and down tomorrow. And I'm telling you that 2024 is going to be like that. Because we know that we're going to have inconsistency in our lives. Learn to be compassionate one to another. Learn to be supportive one to another. Bear with one another. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another. Be kind and tender-hearted one to another. Because if it is not you today, it will be you tomorrow. That's the life in which we live. That's the life we literally live. Our God wants us to understand that he's compassionate and that he's merciful. And I'm closing. I'm closing by making one last point. We must acknowledge the goodness of God in our lives. Acknowledge it. There's an example. I was reading the other day and I don't know how I've missed it several times before. But I'd like to call your attention to a man who was demon-possessed. And then Jesus Christ healed him of his demon possession. But the story doesn't end there. Go with me quickly to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And listen what the Bible says. "Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might be with him, that he might follow Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." Did you know that God wants us to tell people what great things he has done for us? Did you? So instead of spending time talking about the soap opera we watched last week or this sport or that sport, how about telling folks how good God has been to you? Sometimes I want us to understand that one of the most potent messages that we can convey to folks is when they know what God has done for you. Instead of us telling them what God can do for you, for them, tell them what God has done for you. Been there, done that. That's what I'm saying. Among the most powerful of testimonies is personal testimony, not someone else's, but your own testimony. Let them know where you were and where God took you from. Let them know. acknowledge the goodness of God in your life. And I can see this man who was now free from demon possession running through the city, telling them about the wonderful things that God had done for him. Because he who feels it, knows it. I want us to understand that. Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5, one of my favorite psalms, and I would encourage you to keep this psalm close to your heart this year. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, meaning that every vein in my body, every bone, every flesh, every cell, he says, will praise God. To bless the Lord means to give. It means to give God praise. Praise God, O my soul, and everything that is within this body of mine, he says. And then he says, and forget not all his benefits. Why? Look at this though. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our disease, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth, he says, is renewed like the eagle's wings. Do you see why we should talk about the goodness of God? Oh, gosh. Each time I'm running out of breath, my friend, just like you. But talk about the goodness of God. And there's a song, as I mentioned, EJ, there's a song, EJ, that sometime in the future I'd like for you to try and teach us. A song that I think many of us have heard. I think it was released in 2019, so it's a fairly new song. I just have maybe the first stanza and chorus on the screen. It says, it's right there on your screen, as you're going to see. It says, I love you, Lord. Do you know that one? I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held by your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. I may not be faithful, but all my life he has been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. When God has been good to you, it's hard to keep quiet. It's hard. And I challenge you, for the year 2024, go, but make sure that you plead to the Almighty God, plead to him that he will order your steps, that every step you make, God is establishing each step, so that you don't slip, you don't fall away, or you don't stumble. If there's somebody here today who needs prayers, maybe you're still like some folks, still trying to get your resolutions together. Maybe you're still trying to put your plans together. This is a good time to say, please pray for me, because I want God to order my steps in every aspect of my life. I don't know what this year holds for me. It may be my last time on this earth. Maybe for my loved one. But maybe I'm in for some really serious earthquaking change in my life. May the Lord order my steps. Perhaps that's your plea today. And this is a good time. I don't know. It may be a business. It may be a family. It may, whatever it is that you want the Lord to bless as you go through this year. Don't take things for granted. Don't you do that. If you're not a member of the church, as you will see on the screen shortly, that to become a member of the body of Christ is as simple as you can think. One needs to hear the word of God as you have been hearing this morning and repent of your sins. Hear the word of God, believe it, have faith in it, repent of your sins. Confess or acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you must be baptized as the others in water so that you can come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized, you're placed into Christ, into the church. You're not saved until you are baptized, based on the scriptures that you see there on the screen. But the ball is in your court. Is there somebody today who's saying to themselves, I dare not venture one more day into year 2024 unless I know my Savior is going with me? Unless I know the Lord is leading me. We're going to stand and sing that song. Is there one such person as we stand and sing?
Once combined for sin's exalt, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. In my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. From the straight and narrow way, praise the Lord, I cannot stray, for I'm walking every day, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. We have several persons that have requested prayer, and please allow me just to mention them by name and to read their requests. We have Sister Janice Carter. She says, I'm asking for prayers for returning students or students returning to school tomorrow. And we know that sometimes that can be a kind of messy affair. So we pray that God will bless our students that are returning to school at every level of our school system. Thank you so much, Sister Carter. We will certainly be mentioning that. Brother Victor, Sister Vivian Simmons, sorry, says, please pray that the Holy Spirit dwells in my heart and in my soul. That really is potent, my sister. Thank you so much. Then also we have from Sister Sims. Sister Sims says, I have sinned. I asked the church to pray for me so that I can become stronger and for God to forgive me. Sister Sims, we are with you, my dear sister, and we pray that God will forgive you, and we pray that you'll get even stronger as a result. Thank you so much, dear sister Brenda Sims. Then also from Brother Arthur Davis, pray that I may have a better study habit for 2024. Well, absolutely, sir, absolutely. We know that. We talked about it this morning. If a person doesn't spend time in the Word, he will never have the courage to share it as he needs to, or even to defend it. So thank you, Brother Arthur Davis, and that's something that we'll be adding to our prayer list momentarily. Then also we have from Sister Deborah Woodard. She says, Brother and sisters, I have sinned. I have repented of the sin and asked God to forgive me, and I'm asking for the prayers of the church that I may grow stronger in Christ. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Brenda. Deborah Woodard. Appreciate that so much. Then also from Sister Teresa Trussell, she says, praise God for Helen Bozeman, did I get her? Bozeman's discharge from rehab, and she has returned home. So I think that's a friend of hers who has been discharged. Pardon me? Oh, I'm so sorry. You see, I greet her sister all the time, but thank you so much for correcting that. So she's with us, isn't she? Oh, she's not here. Okay, good, good. So that is her sister who is here with us many times. She has been discharged from rehab. And we pray that she will continue to improve health-wise. Then also from Rodney and Katrina Owens. They are from the Country Club Hills area. They are visiting with us today. Just raise a hand so that we can see who you are. Oh, There they are. All right, wonderful. Thank you for being with us today. Absolutely, thank you. Please get a chance to meet the Owens before you leave. We are mighty glad to have you today. And if there's anything that was said that you weren't too clear about, please come to me or any one of the members. I'll be happy to assist you. But please come back and worship with us again. That is Rodney and Katrina Owens from the Country Club Hills. EJ from the Country Club Hills Hero. He knows what I'm trying to do. All right. Then, no, we haven't seen Ajani. At least I haven't seen him for quite a while. Ajani is now a student of SIU. And he's a grandchild of Sister Ricks. And Ajani is with us today. Ajani, raise a hand so that he doesn't have to raise his hand. You know, his hairstyle alone stands above everybody else's. Oh, there you go, Ajani. Thank you so much. So please get a chance to meet Ajani. Ajani has been coming quite a while, but he has been attending college in Carbondale, and we're happy to have him with us this morning. We want to pray for him. And lastly, Brother EJ has asked us to pray. He says, pray for me as I continue my studies going back to school this week. I sat there listening to EJ as he was leading singing, and I said to myself, he's one of the few brothers I know in the church who is so multi-talented. He does so many things. And I wish I could do half the things that he does. I pretend my brother, but it doesn't work. But, you know, I pray that you'll be successful. He's returning to, you know, he's pursuing his doctorate, but he's a teacher at school there. And here he teaches, he preaches, he song leads. He does so many things. And I thank God so much for him and for what he brings to the table. He says, classes will prevent me from attending Wednesday evening Bible class, which is on Zoom. He says, please keep me in your prayers during that time. All right. Thank you so much. Please, if you will, bow your heads with me as we mention each and every person in our prayers. Father, what a joy it is that we have this assurance that when we come to you, Father, with our issues and challenges and problems, that, Father,